community for years and years, and he was a member of the parish at St. Mary's Star of the Sea. And he was quite a character. But anyway, this story goes that Mr. Gore, the Gore or the shrimp people out of Freeport, Mr. Gore was having some problems, and he went to Dr. Perryman. And Dr. Perryman prescribed some medication, and he went home, and he wasn't doing it. He wasn't doing better. So he went back to Dr. Perryman. Dr. Perryman told him, "Son, you need to see a real doctor." So you'll get some real speakers later on. That was the point.
Follow me. I've been bragging on you everywhere about how good your homilies are.
Okay, well, that's good.
That one about St. Vincent de Paul's one was just really, really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
he I didn't really get to tell the whole story. I wanted to tell about our first bishop in this diocese was a Vincentian from France. He was the order was quite prominent because it's the Congregation of the Missions, and so some of them did missionary work. Some of them did worked in seminaries, and some of them, did work like St. Vincent de Paul type work. The sisters, the Daughters of Charity, their convent was the church, and that's what they said. And their place of ministry was the streets. They really didn't have a place. But that was the purpose of the order, to get the... So they were, very, very successful, but they, like other orders today, are hurting for vocations. But the title for my talk tonight is "Who is Jesus?" And I'm going to add a little something to it. I'm going to add to it, "Who is Jesus to me?" And when I finish my talk, I hope you can break up. I'm gonna let Jeannie Packard take over that part. But I hope we can break up in small groups, and you'll have the opportunity to meditate and to think about who is Jesus to you. But I'm going to share my story. Some of you have heard these stories. When you've been in a place for 33 years, you tell the same stories. I used to joke about Father Bill. I used to joke and say, the only difference between Father Bill and myself is that I'm telling the same stories, but I remember that I told them. But anyway, I remember that I've told these a couple of stories about who is Jesus to me. And it all started my relationship with Jesus as a young person, as a real young person. I was too busy with playing Little League baseball and playing Little League football and doing all kind of stuff, going fishing on the river. I was just a typical young boy growing up in Freeport. And I was the type of guy, some of you heard this story, I was the type of guy, I was, very, very friendly. I enjoyed going out to all the festivities that we had in the community with the school. After the football games, we'd have a dance after the football games, and I'd go out there and I'd dance with everybody and have a good time. And I'd even go around the girls. when you're in the seventh and eighth grade, you're kind of shy, you know. Some of the boys didn't want to ask the girls. Well, I was the type of guy that I wanted. I figured the girls came there to dance, so by golly, they were going to dance at least with me. So I would go around and dance with all the girls. And but I had a girlfriend too, you know. But anyway, in the big church in Freeport, when I was growing up, was the First Baptist Church. It was right across from the school there, right across from the middle school, what they call it today. Now it'd be then it was the junior high. And right across, and we used their facilities for some of our activities as overflow. And a lot of my friends, the choir director there was a member of that church, John McGee. And so we sang a lot of Baptist hymns and songs, and so I was very familiar with the people in my class that went to that church. And they all belonged to the Eastern Star and to the DeMolays and to all those type organizations for youth. And so they invited me to go down there. And I went there one time, and something impressed me. You know, I looked up, and there was a curtain on the back wall. And I thought, what is that curtain all about, you know? And during the service, the curtain opened, and they had like an aquarium up there. And the preacher, Philip Brown, got in the aquarium and baptized somebody. Yeah, he got in there. He had a pair of waders on, however. Yeah. And I remember all this. So then they kept inviting me to do this and do that, and to join the DeMolays, the youth program. And I, to be honest, I wasn't really active in my own church at that time. And so they kept inviting me. And they were sponsoring a big revival at Hopper Field. And they got this new, wonderful preacher. He was just getting started. Jimmy Robinson. He's on TV now. He was just getting started as an evangelist. So we all go down there. All my friends, they were sitting on that bench, the bleacher. There must have been 10 or 12 of us along there, and I was having a good time. And he's a good speaker. He's a motivational type speaker. And he has a way of getting to you. And so he was given the talk about sin and how terrible sin was, and how we needed a Savior. And God sent a Savior to save you from your sins. And he went in and talking about, you know, the terrible thing that sin is. Well, then he kept talking about this sin, and then he said he qualified it, the sin of dancing. And I thought, oh my God. You know, being a Polish boy and, you know, growing up that way, and to find out that I've been sinning all these times, for all these years I've been sinning, and I've been leading all these girls into sin. And I must be terrible. I must be terrible. So then the altar call came. And this girl on my right, she started crying, and she went down front to get saved. And I thought, I'm the one that caused that. One on this side started crying and got up, went down for the altar call and got saved. Well, I thought, you know, I'm the one that caused all this. I'm the one that ought to be down there. So I went down there and I got saved. So anyway, so they wanted to baptize me immediately. And I said, no. I've been baptized. You know, I'm a Catholic. So I never, but it caused me then to look into my own church and my own faith more deeply. But that was the first time, you know, I thought about Jesus then as Savior. And as you think about it, it began to develop in my life an appreciation of Jesus as Savior to me. And so I got involved in a more active way at St. Mary's. Had some wonderful CCE teachers. You remember Raymond Fields? Wonderful people, spiritual people. And I just can't impress upon you enough how important it is for your children to get to know wonderful Christian people who have a love of the Lord and want to share that with our young people. So Jesus, you know, who is Jesus? The first thing I think of is Jesus is Savior. So and I can truthfully say from that time on, my life took another direction because I was probably a young person that could have gone the wrong direction. And because of my experience of Jesus as Savior, then I began to be more open to who is this Jesus? You know, I want to know more about him. And so in coming to catechism, being with the Fields, sitting and listening to them talk and share, they're studying the book, I got to know more about Jesus, this Savior. But all that is external. All that is external. It's out there. It's in the books, you know. And it's like reading a history book. And so I became an acolyte, and I got to know, you know, the priests there very closely. And their faith was had a deep impact upon me. Their Father McCormick and Father Prendergast and Father Beck and Father Weirden and Father Blankenstein. Yeah, all those priests, their life and their ministry, you know, but just being attentive and being a person who observes what's going on and can think about that. You know, it made me think about, you know, what more do I need to know about this Jesus who is Savior, who saved me from my sins and opened the gates of heaven and opened the gates of paradise. And that made a big impression on me, is Jesus as Savior. And so as being an acolyte, then I served a lot of masses there at St. Mary's. I I was one that was, I guess, the sucker that would serve 6 o'clock in the morning during Lent. I got appointed to that, and I, you know, rode my bicycle down there and was faithful to it. But anyway, the church services back then in the church that I grew up in, they're different than they are today. The fervor is different. I went on Good Friday. We had a service called the Tre Ore. It's called the Seven Last Words of Christ. And usually the pastor got an excellent speaker. And they would give seven sermons, the seven last words of Christ. And he would give a little talk, maybe a 15-minute talk, and then give you time for reflection. Then he would give another talk. You know, the words like, you know, I thirst, or woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Into your hands I commend my spirit. The priest would come and give a meditation on those words. And I made that service, and it really touched me, this Jesus as Savior. You know, and so we went through the service from 12 to 3. At 3 o'clock, we had another service. Yeah, we had the, you know, the reading of the Passion, the adoration of the cross, much like we do today, except we don't have the seven last words. We tried it here a couple of times, but it just was not well attended. So anyway, I can remember being at that service, and I had been to the seven last words. So yeah, man, we're talking about being in church for 4 hours or more. And so I'm sitting there, and I don't know how many of you saw the old crucifix at St. Mary's. You know, the one that burned up. I mean, one of them burned up and they replaced it. But the old one was really special. And I can remember sitting in church, and I had had the Jesus as Savior experience already, and I had already accepted the fact that I was really a bad person for all this dancing I had done. And I looked up at the crucifix, and I said, you know, this is not play. This really happened. And Jesus really did die to save me. And that really made a deep impression on me. And I can truthfully say, some people say they've had a born-again experience. Well, that for me was a born-again experience. Because from that moment, my life really did change, you know. And So Jesus as Savior and Jesus as Messiah, but then Jesus as the teacher became very important to me then. You know, I wanted to know what he taught. I wanted to know what he said. What did he teach people about life and about what has been done for them, and so that, you know, that led me to my vocation. Up until that time, I was just a normal teenager, and I continue to be a normal teenager. But that experience of Jesus as Savior, it made me look at things differently. look at life differently. And I've told some of you this, but maybe perhaps some haven't heard it. When you get to be a senior in high school, you have to make some decisions. That's the way it was when I was growing up. You know, like, what are you going to do with your life? Today they say, well, I just go off to college, you know. I don't have any plans. But that's not the way it was when I was growing up. You had plans. You were going to be an engineer. You were going to be a doctor. You were going to be a teacher. You were going to be, you know, something. And so I had some thoughts of what I wanted to do with my adult life. And it all hinged upon Jesus as Savior, Jesus as Messiah, Jesus as the one chosen and sent by the Father. So the principal then called me into his office when I was a senior, and I thought, I wonder what kind of trouble I'm in now. But he came in and he said something to me, and I'm sure this was in God's plan and God's design. He said something to me that made me then think about what I wanted to do with my life. He said, you know, I'd like for you to think about becoming a real estate agent and going into business with me when you get out of school. He said, I'm not going to be the principal forever here. I'm going to leave and I'm going to go into the real estate business. And I would like for you to think about going into that business with me. Well, I thanked him very much, but I really wasn't interested in selling that kind of real estate. But it made me think about what is there in life that's really important to you. And it hinged back to that Jesus as Savior. That meant more to me and affected my life. It made the church a wonderful place to be. A wonderful place to be. Because Jesus then became like, you know, your friend, your companion, the person you pray to, became very extra important to me. And so as I reflected upon this, you know, and there was so much goodness and so much spiritual joy that I had experienced through all of these things that happened. And it stemmed back from Jesus as Savior. It stemmed back to that I said, wow, that's what I want to be involved in. You know, I want to help people experience that same thing. And you'll hear me talk from the pulpit about that. If you don't get that right, then nothing else makes sense. If you don't get that right, you know, Jesus came to save you. And he came to save me. And Jesus then is the teacher. He teaches us a lot of things. And those things bring not trauma or sadness or upset or bitterness. The scripture is fulfilled. I have come that you may have life and life to the fullest. That's what Jesus said, because he is the Son of God. Remember at the Transfiguration, This is my beloved Son. On Him my favor rests. Listen to Him. And so as we listen to Him, then He blesses our life. But you know, who is Jesus, and who is Jesus to me? He's first sent as Savior, sent by the Father. And He fulfilled His role, and He is not a. Sometimes people think that being involved in the church or with Jesus is like there's something wrong with it, like or something wrong with you. You know, like they look down. It's because people really have put in a little bit of work to experience His presence in their life that comes through grace. And so that's why it's so important, I think, that young people are here, are down here, that they come here so that they can have the same experiences that I've had. And I know some of you have had, because unless they experience that and can get in touch with that, then it's just like, you know, it's like anything else, like going to math class or, you know, or doing something. It doesn't mean anything. But when I looked at that cross and I said, you know, this really happened. Jesus really did die for us. It really did happen. And I took that to heart. And I can truthfully say that changed my life. So that's about all I have to say about who is Jesus. You know who Jesus is to me. I'm going to turn it over to the to our committee here. Yeah. What's the bottom line? What's the most important thing? That people are saved. That's the most important thing. That they go to heaven. and that's what I wanted to be involved in.
There was no Catholic school in Freeport?
Yeah, there was. Sure there was. No, uh-uh. As I say, it's a miracle. It's a miracle that, I mean, Jesus truly did save me, because I could have gone the wrong way very easily.
Oh, I remember you so well.
Yeah. Now I have no hair. Well, let me tell you what made me give up dancing. This is really not true, but I'm going to tell it anyway. A bunch of us high school boys went up to a dance. If you know anything about the Polish people and the Czech people and the German people, they work hard Monday through Friday. Saturday, there is a dance. And there was a dance hall at Guy, Texas. There was one at Fairchild, Texas. And those two, the ones that I'm familiar with. So we decided that we would go to the dance. And we were having a Paul, because you don't know anybody. We were there to meet girls, I guess. And so we were having a Paul Jones. You know what that is? Yeah, the girls get in the middle and hold hands and they face out. The boys get on the outside and hold hands and they face one another, and you go the girls go one way and the guys go another way. And the music is playing. Well, when the music stops, whoever is in front of you, that's who you dance with. Okay? Well, when the music stopped, this was terrible of me. When the music stopped, there was this big old German girl that was bigger than me. And she'd been working in the fields all week. And I just turned and went the other way. And that's the last time I even attempted to. I didn't dance with her. Now, that was mean. But I was also 17 years old, you know. So I hope she forgave me. Yeah, that's right. But the one next to her, she was fast. She grabbed that guy next to me. She grabbed him, and away they went, going around and around the hall, you know. Anyway, it was fun. Okay. Now, I thought let's see, Gary said the parents have to leave here.
Yeah, about 7:25.
We could break up into small groups, and I'd like for you to just think about, you know, who is Jesus to you? Because I think it's important that we know that. But to me, the important thing is, you know, he is the Son. You know, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. He is Savior, but everything has to stem from that. And he is our helper and our guide, our example, our teacher. And he was the one chosen by the Father. So, you want to take over from here? Yeah, okay.
So thank you, Father, very much.
Okay. The sinner.
Are you a good dancer at least?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I am very good. Okay. Yeah, I can sing and dance. I can do that.
Yes,
we know what
sing.
We know what his nickname was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Father.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm gonna get
kicking us off.
It's still on.
All right, got it.